Hello, everyone. We welcome you to our Sunday morning roundtable discussion with the subject of man. We are recording from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent in Plainfield, New Jersey, in the United States of America. And thank you all so much for joining us today. I will begin with the morning prayer.
I'm reading from Science and Health, page 458. And Rudimental Divine Science, pages 7 and 10, just excerpts from that. The Christianly scientific man reflects the divine law, thus becoming a law unto himself. He does violence to no man, neither is he a false accuser. The Christian scientist wisely shapes his course and is honest and consistent in following the leadings of divine mind. He must prove, through living as well as healing and teaching, that Christ's way is the only one by which mortals are radically saved from sin and sickness. In science, man is the manifest reflection of God, perfect and immortal mind. He is the likeness of God, and his likeness would be lost if inverted or perverted. You must feel and know that God alone governs man, that his government is harmonious, that he is too pure to behold iniquity and divides his power with nothing evil or material. You must learn to acknowledge God in all his ways. Mary Baker Eddy.
Thank you. All right, Karen, our watching point.
Watch number 63. Watch lest you endeavor to cast out wrong thoughts without including wrong thinking in this effort. We have the thought and the thinking of the thought. The effort is to cast out wrong thoughts. The effort to cast out wrong thoughts is palliative and temporary. The claim of wrong thoughts will assail us until we remove our capacity to think wrong thoughts. Evil suggestions will come as long as one believes that he is receptive to them. Only when one neutralizes this wrong receptivity by knowing that God's child is open only to God's thoughts will the latter be established as man's native and natural state of consciousness. The only way to be certain that your radio would never again receive anything from an undesirable station would be to fix it so that it could never again be tuned to that particular wavelength. Mrs. Eddy once wrote, "There is nothing in me that corresponds with or responds to any form of evil."
Thank you. All right, comments on that?
Well, the me really is God's self-expression. And if we are the self-expression of the one mind, then we can't have any other thoughts but those that come from God and go to God.
Thank you. And that is in the lesson, man is the expression of God's being, expression, reflection. Man made in his likeness possesses and reflects God's dominion over all the earth. That's how we get that dominion. It's in the golden text, Jeremy.
Philippians. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Thank you. Yeah, we really, as it brought out in the lesson, I can have my own self do nothing. That was Jesus's strong point. But this idea, yeah, what is it? Well, I guess it explains the difference between thoughts and thinking the thoughts. You know, you allow yourself to start thinking negative, fearful, unloving types of thoughts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That takes you down that slippery slope. So, and you cut it off by knowing what?
God is all.
Yes.
Well, God is my mind.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I know you correctly.
Yes.
And that thought is not of God. So it has no power, it has no purpose, it has no place, and you don't have to have it.
Thank you.
And I've just learned a lesson that holding incorrect thoughts, even though I didn't know I was holding incorrect thoughts, can be very expensive. I recently adopted a dog, and she was just fine. And then in the last very short term, she started becoming disruptive when I left her, alone. So with the help of my practitioner, I've been knowing that this is God's home, and no evil can enter God's home. And also that Zoe is God's. She's not mine. And that God controls and directs every moment of my day. And that change in thought today, plus the daily calendar message for today, that I can't change how it started, but I can sure change how it stopped. My whole being has changed. Zoe is very relaxed today, and I am so very, very grateful. I didn't even know I was holding bad thoughts about her, but thanks to God, he unraveled all that snarl.
Thank you. That's wonderful. Thank you.
I think it's easy also to be in just a habit of thinking negatively. And that, I think, is what this watch is about. You know, you cast out a wrong thought and then go a while and then you're back into wrong thinking again, accepting the lies that come to you.
Thank you. Very good.
Absolutely. Because, you know, when I adopted Zoe, they all talked about this disruptive activity. And because she was so good and I knew God brought her here, I didn't really resolve that negative thought in my mind. And that's a lesson that I'm learning now, and I'm very grateful for it.
Thank you.
It's about you get example. What you expect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, you receive what you believe. Mm. That was a good example. Thank you. Yeah, and thank you, Florence, too. That's very true. You know, if you're used to just the way you thought all your life, maybe that's what your parents thought, very negatively and fearfully. You just think, just fall into it. You think it's your thinking and you don't catch it. Or you might catch an occasional wrong thought. But it is that line of thinking that must be burned out, exterminated, pulled up by the root. And you do that by, as Chardell said, and how we start every morning with God is mine, God is my mind. God is the only pure and perfect mind. And knowing what Gary said, that any of these other thoughts, because they're not of God, therefore they do have no power. We give it any power it seems to have. But that cuts it off at the pass.
And watching your vocabulary and the things that you take in through the day.
Yes. Yeah.
Be careful.
Go ahead, Florence.
No, the Bible tells us to keep our conversation in heaven, right? So, like Jeremy just said, you know, what am I saying? What is my language? You know, often, how do I talk and all of that? So
yeah, exactly. And sometimes, how am I talking to myself?
Mm-hmm. And I'm also learning that when I say, "Oh, I'm very grateful for that." And then the very next thing out of my mouth is but. Oh, is that wrong?
Right. Yeah, watch those buts. Is anyone else trying? Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that last statement that Mrs. Eddy, quote from Mrs. Eddy, there's nothing in me it corresponds with a response to any form of evil, I think is very good. If we just, you know, hold on to that, then you know, we can just, these thoughts can just roll off us like water off a duck's back, because there's nothing in me that's going to carry on a conversation or pick it up and do something with it. And
that's wonderful. Yes. I think that might be in Things to Handle Daily or something similar. And that's why that article, I guess you could call it an article, Things to Handle Daily, is so important. If you can listen to it or study it every day, do. Because all these things, Mrs. Eddy's telling us to handle daily. And when you read or listen to it, then you are. You're thinking about it. And it's rooting out these false habits that we might have gotten into. And, you know, to be working every day, this idea that it's projected that Christian Science doesn't heal. We need to handle that every day. Or the belief that there is something impossible to God. We need to handle that every day. It's just one thing after the next to be knowing and working with. And you will find as you do this that they go into your inward parts and you become, and you know the answers and the solution to all these so-called problems in you. And it's what our leader has given us to work with.
Yes, so, and sometimes it seems to come after us at our supposed weak spots. So if there's something that particularly seems to bother you, that's what may be the hook to get you thinking wrongly. And so it's important to, you know, when that happens, it points out what your seeming weak spot is in your character, and just to know that that's what you're working on there is helpful.
Good yes. point. Very good point.
Christian Science, since I've come here, I realize that it really, the study, if you're really studying Christian Science, you are becoming more and more aware of your thinking. And so you're aware of any little, or should be, any little thing that comes in that isn't absolutely divine science or the Christian Science. And I've just become more aware of my thinking. And you see how people around just say all kinds of things. They're totally unaware of what they're saying. But if you're studying, a student of Christian Science, you are very aware of what you're thinking. And boy, it's really amazing how that's happened since I've really picked up this science and really started studying it correctly. How aware I am of every thought, practically.
Thank you. And it's interesting because by knowing the fullness of God, you also become more sensitive to what is saying. It's not God is all. It goes hand in hand. So it's not like you go into some fairy tale world where you're ignorant of what Era seems to be claiming. You become more aware of it, but you become aware of it to annihilate it. Not to go along with it. So, very important point. Thank you. And that word that wrong, the effort to cast out wrong thoughts is palliative and temporary. That word palliative is relieving symptoms without and not dealing with the cause. Hmm. So, mm-hmm. You're not burning it out. You're just tossing something off, but you're not burning out this. The belief of that you could think wrongly, that you're immortal. And all of this that we're talking about goes along with man, the definition of man. Because as we do this, we become that image and likeness of God. We are that image and likeness of God. We're just shining off the mirror, so to speak. All right, thank you.
That palette of just taking care of the effect or whatever, it makes me think of putting white out on your monitor instead of actually changing what's coming through. You know, you just put white out on it. That's not going to do it.
Thank you. Very true.
Oh, it's like in medicine, palliative medicine, you know, just temporary lessons. Or if it's pain, it's just lessening for a moment. It doesn't take care of it.
Right. Yeah. And this is what. Who's speaking?
I think it's also like on a computer where you have like the scam pop up, and you can just blank, you can just block the scam. Just push that button.
So it doesn't come at all. Yeah, and it's why it's not helpful sometimes when people, you know, people are suffering with a problem and you just sympathize with them or pat them on the head. It might be a little temporary relief that people like you to do. And I've seen that happen, you know, where someone's having a problem and some sympathetic soul will just coo at them and say kind words and pat them on the head. But that's not getting to the, that's not rooting out the problem. It's like what Florence was saying. And it might be a temporary relief, but it's not lasting. And it will also make that person perhaps feel dependent on that person who kind of soothes them and coos at them, but not really healing the situation. Sooner or later, it's got to be healed. It can't just be sympathized with. That's not a true healing. So
I heard someone recently talk about the Eckhart Tolle and how listening to him always makes this person feel better. But then, you know, afterwards it goes away. So obviously that's just.
He's New Age and took it from Christian Science because Zary told us he used to go to the Hamburg church. So that's New Age. And that's often what New Age does. It'll soothe you for a while, but not get to the core of it. And that must always be. So I think I'm going to skip now to Nancy. Tell us what you contributed this week.
That's Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female, created he them. So from Webster's, to create, it's to make or form, to produce or to bring into being, to cause, to exist. Own, belonging to, an express exclusion of others, as God created man in his own image. And image, representation or likeness, and an idea. In Miscellaneous Writings on page 18, Mrs. Eddy states, "Thou shalt recognize thyself as God's spiritual child only, and the true man and true woman, the all-harmonious male and female, as of spiritual origin, God's reflection. Thus, as children of one common parent, wherein and whereby father, mother, and child are the divine principle and divine idea, even the divine us. One in good and good in one. With this recognition, man could never separate himself from good God, and he would necessarily entertain habitual love for his fellow man." And I found a short article by Bicknell Young called Man, God's Image. And he starts with Mrs. Eddy's statement, "All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all." He goes on to say, "Man must remember what he is and who he is and what he does. Man is the image and likeness of God. Man is the manifestation, expression, reflection of divine truth, life, and love. And man manifests, expresses, reflects divine truth, life, and love. Just as God is and does, so too man is and does. As God is the great I am, man has nothing to worry about and nothing to be afraid of. Fear not, for God has given you dominion and control, so use it. In fact, it is God's dominion and control you are actually using. And for this reason, you always have more than enough power from on high, which always makes you master of every circumstance and situation. work for the glory of God, speaking with authority in his name, and you will be obeyed, because he must be obeyed. You will see the Christ idea gain an ascendancy until the light, divine light glows in, around, and through all.
It's very beautiful. That was a good introduction to this lesson on man, what man really is. And it's over and over in the lesson that God does give us dominion. It's very important that we understand that. But as the watching point says, it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is always God is the source, and it's only when you think you are doing it, then you fail, you flop on your face, get discouraged. But no, it's God doing it. So thank you, Nancy. That was beautiful.
You're welcome.
All right, and now Chardell.
Ephesians, I was taken with Ephesians 4. Till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And even in our unity watch last night, it talked about faith and fellowship. I found some things that other denominations use, and I was interested to see how they're thinking and what they're doing. And one of them from Bible Gateway was, excuse me, the fullness of Christ is the context of Ephesians 4:13. Therefore, refers to the church attaining the standard or level of the church that is filled with Christ, or which Christ fills, as well as the church attaining complete conformity to the Christ, and all Christians reaching this high standard. Mm. I like that. Mm. And then, and that's what we strive for. We're striving for the Christ. And then the unity of faith. This is from another called STEM. And it says that the unity of faith is something which the saints are to come to arrive at in connection with the knowledge of the Son of God. And I thought that was interesting, the knowledge of the Son of God. And then another denomination was interested in things to help you to do this, to achieve these, the purpose of understanding and following the Christ. And I'll read a few of them. One I liked was don't gossip.
Yeah.
Yes. And remember your common identity. And I thought, we're workers for Christ, Christianity, as taught by Mrs. Eddie.
Yeah.
That's what we do. And then acknowledge your need for community. And there's nothing personal in our community. And we must remember that. Stay humble. Mrs. Eddie teaches us that. Embrace your differences. We are individuals, not personality. Believe the best in others. We are God's children. Work through the conflict. And then honesty is spiritual power. Check your motives, as I've been taught. And there again, don't gossip.
Good. Those are good ways to keep that unity in our church. And we do. Not get personal, not look for personal friendships or anything personal, but we work for God, and in working for God, we find friends. And yeah, embrace your differences. We certainly have a lot of variety here, and I'm grateful for that. And believe the best in others. Yes, see God's child in everyone. And work through conflict when there are things that, you know, and there will be things that you might not seem right. You work through it. You can address it to the person and get practitioner help or whatever is needed, but don't just take your marbles and go. Yep, always checking your motives. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Is it for God or is it for personal grandeur? And yes, don't gossip. And that's why, I mean, generally speaking, we don't give out phone numbers or email addresses unless you're working with a person and in the church, Because just to call and talk, I mean, what's that all about? I know people long for friendship and that kind of thing. Well, we find it in our work, not just to call and talk, because we've seen it through the years. Mrs. Evans was actually very strict about this because, you know, people just, they will end up gossiping. Well, what happened to so-and-so or this or that? If you have any real questions, you can always ask a practitioner, but just to call somebody to chit-chat is not helpful. To call somebody because you're working on a lesson or you have a question or you're working like that, that's absolutely, it's the way we know each other, through the work. Who's trying to speak? Okay.
That's why we don't have pictures either.
Yeah, that's true, to try to keep it more impersonal. And not that we have any aversion to our pictures or the way we look, but I think it's just better to do it that way. You know us from our voices, all of us. And yeah, I mean, even within Plainfield, we never call to just chit chat. We only call to if we have a business question. We have too much
God's,
work.
God's
to do.
Business question.
Yes, God's business. Mm-hmm. In an article that Carrie sent called "Unity and Cooperation," it quotes Mrs. Eddy from Miscellany, where she says, "Unity is spiritual cooperation." And what is spiritual cooperation? Does it mean that we all agree on the same thing? No. Two people might be in perfect agreement that 2 + 2 = 5, yet that would be far from being in accordance with the rules of mathematical truth. If we are to demonstrate the unity, which is spiritual cooperation, we must be sure we are working in harmony with the divine principle of all truth. And in Science and Health, Mrs. Eddy says, the scientific unity which exists between God and man must be brought out in life practice, and God's will must be universally done. There is but one way to accomplish this result, namely by overcoming the false beliefs of the carnal mind, putting on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. As each one earnestly strives through the understanding of God as divine principle and man as his perfect idea to overcome the errors of so-called mind, which are constantly trying to force themselves upon him, and as he looks away from people or trying to agree with people, fixing his gaze steadfastly on God, trusting him, thus demonstrating true unity and loving cooperation. Then he will find himself working in accord with the fellow man, with his fellow man, manifesting that mind which was also in Christ Jesus. So this is how we do it, by looking to God for all our answers as best we can. And we will find, and I stand by this, we will find as we do this, we will come in unity. There's not one right and one wrong. I mean, there is one right, one right and one wrong. There's not all this gray zone. There seems to be a gray zone, and everyone is coming from different places and different positions, but right is right. And as we work toward that, we will come into that unity. And then this is beautiful. We mentioned this once at a former roundtable, but the illustration of an orchestra with its many sweet-toned instruments bringing out musical harmony is helpful. Each one realizes that he is responsible only for his own part in the work. He does not watch his neighbor, though he may be playing the same kind of instrument, nor does he suggest to his neighbor how he shall play. His whole thought and purpose is to gain a clear understanding of the music before him. In order to do this, he is obedient to the director of the orchestra, regardful of every movement of the baton, so that no discord will be manifested as a result of his work. So who is that?
God.
God. Yes, he's our director. We all watch him. We're in an orchestra. We all have different places, different things to accomplish. Yeah, maybe we're playing the same instrument, but that doesn't matter. We still look toward that director to guard us, guide us, instruct us in every way.
We each have our part.
We each have our part. And then when that happens, you have a beautiful music coming, right? Mm-hmm. All of mankind together in unity. And that's also in the lesson. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, some pastors, teachers. So don't be worried about what someone else's part is. Focus on what your part is. Because when you're worried about what someone else is doing, you're missing something very important, and that's your part.
And God is not only the director, but God also writes the music. Because there are rules, principles, laws governing music, aren't there? Mrs. Eddy refers to that. The laws of God are like the laws of mathematics. They are absolute. And the laws of music. And if everyone plays their part correctly, there's no dissonance. When there's dissonance in the music, somebody's playing the wrong note. And when there's dissonance in our lives, somebody's playing the wrong note.
First, check yourself.
Yeah.
Your own thinking.
Yeah.
My mom always reminds me that we are individual, but indivisible. And I just think that's such a great thing to ponder in this day when there seems to be so much division.
Well, the devil would like to divide us, right? Mm-hmm. That's just mm-hmm. the tool of the devil. Mm-hmm. And you're right. We need to be smarter than that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In another article from Carrie on unity, scientific unity, it talks about military tactics, divide and destroy. Mm-hmm. And that's why the article Ways That Are Vain, right? Mm-hmm. Where are your thoughts leading you? And then, and the converse of that axiom is in unity, there is strength. So, and that's true, but it has to be that unity. Not mass mesmerism, as I've talked about, but the unity of following that one director, which is God good. That's where the unity is. So and also the very, very important in this, it's in this article and also in another article by Ella Hoag, The Father, He Doeth the Works. But unity of all is based on common fatherhood and motherhood of God. That's why, what does the Lord's Prayer bring out?
Our Father.
And that prayer is said all around the world, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's not my Father. It's our Father. It's very important that we acknowledge this as a child of God, as his image and likeness. It's all the things this lesson is bringing out, that we have this common Father, Mother, God. And in this is a beautiful article. I love Ella Hoag. She's a wonderful writer. But she says, Jesus never failed because he never once admitted that he could do anything apart from God. This did not tempt him into a belief that he could ever be mentally inactive. But on the contrary, he was ever awake to every argument of any activity apart from the divine. And then this is what we just talked about. Nothing so reveals to us the claims of error as the understanding of the omnipresence of God. And this goes back to what Karen was talking about, how she's so much more aware of her thinking. This omnipresence of God, declaring it and knowing it, you will, when a wrong thought comes in, it'll be like a red flag. Mm-hmm. The consciousness that the Father is ever present will uncover the human consciousness, every belief in another presence and power. but having gone with the truth of being that the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. We have not only the means for the exposure of all evil, but also the method of its annihilation. You know, some of these thoughts, they seem in a way so simple, and yet we don't dive into them truly enough, because they should just, they're mind-blowing. And I'm sure in the article, Things to Handle Daily, it ends with that idea of handling or working with the Lord's Prayer for half an hour every day. I mean, sometimes I wonder, gee, how can I do that? I mean, you know, every day for half an hour, go over and over it. But here you can, because it's ever unfolding, the depth of it. The depth of it. So, and Ella Hoag says, Christians for nearly 2,000 years have been taught to pray, Our Father, which art in heaven. But how little they have realized all that these words imply, either of divine relationship or of individual power. One of the greatest needs of the human race today is to learn to understand that God is really man's only parent. A realization of this will bring into experience all the blessing and blessedness which must inevitably accompany such relationship. And call no man your father upon earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. We can love our human father or not, but we've got to go back. It's God is the father of all of us, including your human father and mother. This is addressing fatherhood and motherhood. But I've always been impressed that Jesus always referred to God, almost always, as his father. That tender, loving relationship. And then Mrs. Eddy says, God must be ours practically, guiding our every thought and action, else we cannot understand the omnipresence of good sufficiently to demonstrate, even in part, the science of the perfect mind and divine healing. I think that's what Florence ended in her prayer about, this idea of God governing. Move, right, Florence?
Everything, yes. We have to acknowledge him in all our ways, on all his ways.
All our ways. To be conscious of dwelling with truth and love would be the law of annihilation of all belief in error and hate. To be conscious of dwelling with life would be the transforming power of all belief in inaction, inability, and limitation. Even to catch a glimpse of our unity with God as his perfect spiritual child is to place our feet on that immovable rock, which from all storms of material sense are powerless to move us. So, and then it also goes into the impossibility because of anything, because God, all things are possible to God. And once again, Jesus never failed because he never once admitted that he could do anything apart from God. And that is throughout this lesson, isn't it? It's throughout Jesus' teachings. So this is how man obtains his dominion over all things. And of course, this takes great humility. And that word, Abba, Father, in the lesson, I love... This is a definition from Bible Hub. Abba is the Aramaic equivalent for father. The repetition is one of endearment and entreaty, taken from the natural impulse of children to repeat a beloved name in different forms. Jesus, my shepherd, friend, my prophet, priest, king, etc. All names and words of endearment. So this is how we realize and demonstrate our dominion over all things, our father, motherhood of God, our humility in knowing that, and our expression of it. Now,
that is the not, excuse me.
Go ahead.
But isn't that the knowledge of the Son of God? I mean, who is the Son of God?
Christ.
Christ.
Yeah. Will do his will.
Yes. And aren't you the Son of God?
We're all sons and daughters, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
If we really know who we are, and if we really know who our neighbor is, I mean, that's the challenge, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
To know who we really are.
Yes, and in knowing who we are, we do, then we know who our neighbor is too, and it must be all inclusive. It's not just, well, I'm this way, but everybody else is a screwed up mess. So,
and that's why we have to know a little bit about who God is. Because the only way we can know who we are is if we know something about who God is. And that's why I find the seven synonyms to be so helpful.
Yeah.
I am the image and likeness of divine principle, soul, spirit, mind, life, truth, and love. That's a pretty all-encompassing and powerful thing that you are the image and likeness of.
I must say it's quite a challenge shifting from the thought of God as somebody or something somewhere to qualities.
Mm-hmm.
But it's doable, otherwise we wouldn't have to do it.
Well, and that's it. And it has been proven over and over and over again to us that it is true because it heals. So we should have no doubt.
This is from a Wednesday readings with the theme of Claim Your God-Given Dominion. And this is from Miscellaneous Writings. Man is freeborn. He is neither the slave of sense nor a silly ambler to the so-called pleasures and pains of self-conscious matter. But Mrs. Eddy was so clear. Man is God's image and likeness. Whatever is possible to God is possible to man as God's reflection. Through the transparency of science, we learn this and receive it. Learn that man can fulfill the scriptures in every instance, that if he opens his mouth, it shall be filled, not by reason of the schools and learning, but by natural ability that reflection already has bestowed on him to give utterance to truth. Asserting a selfhood apart from God is a denial of man's spiritual sonship, for it claims another father. As many as do receive a knowledge of God through science will have power to reflect his power in proof of man's dominion over all the earth, and then in unity of good. Man has no underived power. That selfhood is false, which opposes itself to God, claims another father, and denies spiritual sonship. But as many as receive the knowledge of God in science must reflect in some degree the power of him who gave and giveth man dominion over all the earth. It's beautiful. Mrs. Eddy says it so clearly. So do spend time, your 4 hours every day, in study and communion with God. And then live it, not just sit in your prayer chair, but go out and live it and prove it. And now I'd like Karen. Karen found the most beautiful article on the man in Bethesda. The Man Who Outlined by Louise Knight Wheatley. It should be on our website if it isn't. So go ahead, Karen, if you can summarize
it.
It was really, all of it is really good. She's still here, I hope.
Uh-oh. There are a few things that I underlined.
Okay.
He who had looked so persistently in the wrong direction suddenly discovered that as soon as he looked at the right direction, he was healed, and healed within a very few minutes. You know, it talks about how he was so sure that his answer was in the pool
of Bethesda. I mean, he was just, I'm going to stick this out because that's my only answer is right here. Jesus found him there, patient and uncomplaining, as honestly mistaken persons often are. How the great heart of the master was so moved with compassion that it is one of the few cases on record wherein he offered assistance without being asked. Wilt thou be made whole? He said. One can easily imagine the tenderness and sweetness of that voice, and how the sick man must have turned with sudden interest to see who the questioner might be. Then the master said to that seemingly helpless one, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And the man who outlined found that he was healed, but not in any particular as he had expected. Rise, he said, it was the thought which must be lifted if he would be well. He was to rise above his present mesmeric state of helpless apathy into the consciousness of his true identity as the Son of God. He was to cease his useless explanations, complaints, apologies, and excuses, which had never brought him anything or taken him anywhere, and rise into the glorious realization of his rightful God-given dominion over all the earth, over every form and phase of error. And then the last thing I said, the 30 and 8 years of waiting are nothing in the sight of God. For to him, evil has no history. He has never beheld anything less than his own finished spiritual creation, perfect even as the mind which formed it is perfect. And this spiritual creation is now and forever has been enfolded in the protecting care of the All Father.
Thank you. Yeah, it was such a good point, this idea of outlining how he was going to heal. This was the only way, you know, he was focused on this. This was the way. He couldn't even see anything else until the Christ came and awoke him. And I love this too, where it says, perhaps some of us think that if we had lived in Jerusalem in Jesus' time, we would certainly have found our healing more quickly than did the impotent man. Yet today, the still small voice of truth is speaking with the same sweet insistence, and many do not seem to hear it. Well, is that ever true? Perchance, like him, they have been for some time helplessly gazing at the troubled waters of Materia Medica, muddy with human opinions, speculative theories, and diagnosis based on symptoms which may change with every setting sun. Have these not lain there long enough, patiently waiting their turn to be healed by that which ignorance and superstition have falsely educated us all to look upon as the only way by which we can be made well? Jesus is not with us today, but the Christ, the truth which makes men free, has never left, and as is ready to bless us now, as was in that memorable morning by the Pool of Bethesda. It's really a very beautiful article. Thank you, Karen. And
you're welcome.
The website, The Man Who Outlined. Let us not outline how we think, not just on healing, but, you know, I'm buying a home, it has to be like this. I'm searching for a husband, it has to be like that. Whatever it is you think, and you have it all outlined, we must be humble under the hand of God. He is the one that outlines, and him alone. Now, we are going to end on something a little different, A Treatment for Supply by Mary Baker Eddy,
which is on our website, so you can find it. She writes, the power of divine intelligence gives you a business capacity without limitation, an acuteness and comprehension, a perception of character, and clear-cut systematic knowledge which leads to success. Truth reflected by you attracts to you trade from all channels of good. There is no fear, sickness, envy, doubt, anxiety, hate, or jealousy. the discordant conditions of business have no power over you. You have no power to attract them. The divine mind is yours to draw from and execute with, to bring out in your business harmony, success, and prosperity. There is no unrest, discord, fear, or friction, no weakness, discouragement, uncertainty, or failure. You have an inexhaustible supply. There is no avarice, greed, trust in money, or love of money. You have abundant proof of God's loving care and His law of supply. You live in the land of promise. God has called you out of any sojourn in Egypt, in darkness, to return to your own country and inheritance. The days of hunger, famine, thirst are past. God is substance, principle, life. Man, as his image, reflects the capabilities and possibilities of spirit. You live in mind, in the atmosphere of plenty. There is no power or presence that can resist good or prevent your prayer from being answered, from being effectual. While you remain in this frame of mind, you are obedient to the principle of your being, and naught can hinder your healing the sick and the sinning. Mary Baker Eddy.
Thank you. Powerful truths for ourselves and for all mankind. Thank you all for joining us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.